26. The Feather. They blame our people for the loss of that land. The city that once covered it did range the eastern strand. The power made known in the tomes of our clan, our gods were not who shattered these plains. From the Listener Song of Wars, 55th stanza. Adolin crashed into the Parshendi line, ignoring weapons, throwing his shoulder against the enemy at the front. The Parshendi man grunted, his song faltering as Adolin spun about himself and swept with his shard blade. Tugs on the weapon marked when it passed through flesh. Adolin came out of his spin, ignoring the glow of stormlight coming from a crack at his shoulder. Around him, bodies dropped, eyes burning in their skulls. Adolin's breath, hot and humid, filled his helm as he puffed in and out. There, he thought, raising his blade and charging, his men filling in around him. Not those bridgemen for once, but real soldiers. He'd left the bridgemen back on the assault plateau. He didn't want men around him who didn't want to fight Parshendi. Adolin and his soldiers pushed through the Parshendi, joining up with a frantic set of soldiers in green uniforms with gold accents, led by a shard-bearer in matching colors. The man fought with a large shard-bearer's hammer. He had no blade of his own. Adolin pushed through to him.
Yakimov, he asked. You all right?
All right,
Yakimov asked, voice muffled by his helm. He slammed the faceplate up, revealing a grin.
I'm wonderful.
He laughed, pale green eyes alight with the thrill of the fight. Adolin recognized that feeling well.
You were almost surrounded, Adolin said, turning to face a group of Parshendi running up in pairs.
Adolin respected them for coming at shard-bearers rather than fleeing. It meant almost certain death, but if you won, you could turn the tide of a battle.
Yakimov laughed, sounding as pleased now as when enjoying a winehouse singer. And that laughter was infectious.
Adolin found himself grinning as he engaged the Parshendi, sweeping them down with blow after blow. He never enjoyed simple warfare as much as a good duel, but for the moment, despite its crassness, he found challenge and joy in the fight. Moments later, the dead lying at his feet, he spun about and searched for another challenge. This plateau was shaped very strangely. It had been a tall hill before the plains were shattered, but half of it had ended up on the adjacent plateau. He couldn't imagine what kind of force would have split the hill down the center, as opposed to cracking it at the base. Well, it wasn't an ordinary shaped hill, so maybe that had something to do with the split. It was shaped more like a wide, flat pyramid, with only three steps. A large base, a second plateau atop it that was perhaps 100 feet across, then a third smaller peak atop the other two, placed right in the center. Almost like a cake with three tiers that had been cut with a large knife right down the center. Adolin and Yakimov fought on the second tier of the battlefield. Technically, Adolin wasn't required to be on this run. It wasn't his army's turn in the rotation. However, the time had come to implement another part of Dalinar's plan. Adolin had arrived with only a small strike force, but it was a good thing he had. Yakimov had been surrounded up here, on the second tier, and the regular army hadn't been able to break through. Now the Parshendi had been pushed back to the sides of this tier. They still held the top tier completely. It was where the chrysalis had appeared. That put them in a bad position. Yes, they had the high ground, but they also had to hold the slopes between tiers to secure their withdrawal. They'd obviously hoped to get the harvesting done before the humans arrived. Adolin kicked a Parshendi soldier over the edge, toppling him down 30 feet or so onto those fighting on the bottom tier, then looked to his right. The slope upward was there, but the Parshendi had the approach clogged. He'd really like to reach the top. He looked at the sheer cliff face between his tier and the one above.
Yakimov, he called, pointing.
Yakimov followed Adolin's gesture, looking upward, then stepped back from the fighting.
That's crazy,
Yakimov said as Adolin jogged up.
Sure is. Let's be at it, then.
He handed his hammer to Adolin, who slipped it into the sheath on his friend's back. Then the two of them ran to the rock wall and started to climb. Adolin's plated fingers ground against rock as he pulled himself straight up. Soldiers below cheered them on. There were handholds aplenty, though he would never have wanted to do this without plate to propel his climb and protect him if he fell. It was still crazy. They'd end up surrounded. However, two shardbearers could do amazing things when supporting one another. Besides, if they got overwhelmed, they could always jump off the cliff, assuming their plate was healthy enough to survive the fall. It was the sort of risky move that Adolin would never dare when his father was on the battlefield. He paused halfway up the cliff. Parshendi gathered on the edge of the tier above, preparing for them.
"You have a plan for getting a foothold up there?"
Yakimov asked, clinging to the rocks beside Adolin. Adolin nodded.
"Just be ready to support me."
"Sure."
Yakimov scanned the heights, face hidden behind his helm.
"What are you doing here, by the way?"
"I figured no army would turn away some shardbearers who wanted to help."
"Shardbearers? Plural?"
"Renarin is down below. Hopefully not fighting. He's surrounded by a large squad of soldiers with careful instructions not to let him get into the fighting. Father wanted him to see a few of these, though."
"I know what Dalinar is doing," Yakimov said. "He's trying to show a spirit of cooperation, trying to get the High Princess to stop being rivals. So he sends his shardbearers to help even when the run isn't his."
"Are you complaining?"
"Nope. Let's see you make an opening up there. I'll need a moment to get the hammer out."
Adolin grinned inside his helmet, then continued climbing. Yakimov was a landlord and shardbearer under High Prince Royan, and a fairly good friend. It was important that light eyes like Yakimov saw Dalinar and Adolin actively working toward a better Alethkar. Perhaps a few episodes like this would show the value of a trustworthy alliance, instead of the backstabbing temporary coalition Satius represented. Adolin climbed farther, Yakimov close behind, until he was a dozen feet from the top. The Parshendi clustered there, hammers and maces at the ready, weapons for fighting a man in shard plate. A few farther down launched arrows, which bounced ineffectively off the plate.
"All right," Adolin thought, holding his hand to the side, clinging to the rocks with the other, and summoned his blade.
He slammed it directly into the rock wall with the flat of the blade facing upward. He climbed up beside the sword. Then he stepped onto the flat of the blade. Shard blades couldn't break. They could barely bend. So it held him. He suddenly had leverage and good footing. And so when he crouched down and leaped, the plate hurled him upward. As he passed the edge of the top tier, he grabbed the rock there, just beneath the feet of the Parshendi, and pulled on it to throw himself into the waiting foe. They broke off their singing as he smashed into them with the force of a boulder. He got his feet underneath him, mentally sending a summons to his blade, then slammed his shoulder into one group. He began to lay about himself with punches, smashing the chest of one Parshendi, then the head of another. The soldier's carapace armor cracked with sickening sounds, and the punches flung them backward, knocking some off the cliff. Adolin took a few hits on his forearms before his blade finally reformed in his hands. He swung about, so focused on holding his ground that he didn't notice Yakimov until the shardbearer in green fell in beside him, crushing Parshendi with his hammer.
"Thanks for tossing a platoon's worth of Parshendi down on my head," Yakimov called as he swung. "That was a wonderful surprise."
Adolin grinned, pointing.
"Chrysalis."
The top tier wasn't well populated, though more Parshendi were flooding up the incline. He and Yakimov had a direct path to the chrysalis, a hulking, oblong boulder of brown and faint green. It was matted to the rocks with the same stuff that made up its shell. Adolin leaped over the twitching form of a Parshendi with dead legs and charged the chrysalis, Yakimov following at a clanking jog. Getting to a gem heart was tough. The chrysalises had skin like rock. But with a shard blade, it could be easy. They just had to kill the thing,
then cut a hole so they could rip out the heart, and the chrysalis was already open.
No!
Adolin said, scrambling up to it, grabbing the sides of the hole and peering into the slushy, violet interior. Chunks of carapace floated within the goop, and a conspicuous gap lay where the gem heart normally connected to veins and sinew. Adolin spun, searching across the top of the plateau. Yakimov clanked up and cursed.
How did they get it out so quickly?
There. Nearby, Parshendi soldiers scattered, yelling in their impenetrable rhythmic language. Standing behind them was a tall figure in silvery shard plate, a red cloak billowing out behind. The armor had peaked joints, ridges rising like the points on a crab's shell. The figure was easily 7 feet tall, the armor making him look massive, perhaps because it covered a Parshendi who had that carapace armor growing from his skin.
"It's him,"
Adolin said, running forward. This was the one his father had fought on the tower, the only shard-bearer they'd seen among the Parshendi for weeks, maybe months. Perhaps the last one they had. The shard-bearer turned toward Adolin, gripping a large, uncut gemstone in his hand. It dripped ichor and plasma.
"Fight me!"
Adolin said. A group of Parshendi soldiers charged past the shard-bearer, running toward the long drop-off at the back of the formation, where the hill had been split down the center. The shard-bearer handed his gem heart to one of these charging men, then turned and watched them jump. They soared across the gap to land on the top of the other half of the hill, the one on the adjacent plateau. It still amazed Adolin that these Parshendi soldiers could leap chasms. He felt a fool as he realized that these heights were not a trap for them as they would be for humans. To them, a mountain split in half was just another chasm to leap. More and more of the Parshendi made the leap, flowing away from the humans below and jumping to safety. Adolin did spot one who stumbled as he leapt. The poor fellow screamed as he plummeted into the chasm. This was dangerous for them, but it was obviously less so than trying to fight off the humans. The shard-bearer remained. Adolin ignored the fleeing Parshendi, ignored Yakimov, who called for him to fall back, and ran up to that shard-bearer swinging his blade full force. The Parshendi raised his own blade, slapping aside Adolin's blow.
"You are the son, Adolin Kolin," the Parshendi said. "Your father... where is?"
Adolin froze in place. The words were in Alethi. Heavily accented, yes, but understandable. The shard-bearer slammed up his faceplate, and to Adolin's shock, there was no beard on that face. Didn't that make this a woman? Telling the difference with Parshendi was difficult for him. The vocal timbre was rough and low-pitched, though he supposed it could be feminine.
"I must needs speak to Dalinar," the woman said, stepping forward. "I met him one time, much long ago."
"You refused our every messenger," Adolin said, backing away, sword out. "Now you wish to speak with us?"
"That was long ago. Time does change."
Stormfather. Something inside of Adolin urged him to go in swinging, to batter this shard-bearer down and get some answers, win some shards. Fight. He was here to fight. His father's voice in the back of his mind held him at bay. Dalinar would want this chance. It could change the course of the entire war.
"He will want to contact you,"
Adolin said, taking a deep breath, shoving down the thrill of battle.
"How?" "We'll send messenger," the shard-bearer said. "Do not kill one who comes."
She raised her shard-blade toward him in salute, then let it drop and dematerialize. She turned to charge toward the chasm and hurled herself across in a prodigious leap. Adolin pulled off his helm as he strode across the plateau. Surgeons saw to the wounded, while the hale sat around in groups, drinking water and grousing about their failure. A rare mood hovered over the armies of Roian and Ruthar this day.
Usually, when the Alethi lost a plateau run, it was because the Parshendi pushed them back in a wild, scrambling retreat across bridges. It wasn't often that a run ended with the Alethi controlling the plateau, but with no gem heart to show for it. He released one gauntlet, the straps undoing themselves automatically at his will, then hooked it at his waist. He used a sweaty hand to push back sweatier hair. Now where had Renarin gotten to? There, on the staging plateau, sitting on a rock surrounded by guards. Adolin tromped across one of the bridges, raising a hand to Yakimov, who was removing his plate nearby. He'd want to ride back in comfort. Adolin jogged up to his brother, who sat on a boulder with his helm off, staring at the ground in front of him.
"Hey," Adolin said. "Ready to head back?"
Renarin nodded.
"What happened?" Adolin asked.
Renarin continued staring at the ground. Finally, one of the bridgeman guards, a compact man with silvering hair, nodded his head to the side. Adolin walked with him a short distance away.
"A group of shellheads tried to seize one of the bridges, Bright Lord," the bridgeman said softly. "Bright Lord Renarin insisted on going to help. Sir, we tried hard to dissuade him. Then, when he got near and summoned his blade, he just kind of stood there. We got him away, sir, but he's been sitting on that rock ever since."
One of Renarin's fits.
"Thank you, soldier," Adolin said.
He walked back over and laid his ungauntleted hand on Renarin's shoulder.
"It's all right, Renarin. It happens."
Renarin shrugged again. Well, if he was in one of his moods, there was nothing to do but let him stew. The younger man would talk about it when he was ready. Adolin organized his 200 troops, then paid his respects to the High Princes. Neither seemed very grateful. In fact, Ruthar seemed convinced that Adolin and Yakimov's stunt had driven the Parshendi off with the gem heart, as if they wouldn't have withdrawn the moment they had it anyway. Idiot. Adolin smiled affably regardless. Hopefully, Father was right and the extended hand of fellowship would help. Personally, Adolin just wanted a chance at each of them in the dueling ring where he could teach them a little respect. On his way back to his army, he searched out Yakimov, who sat under a small pavilion having a cup of wine as he watched the rest of his army trudge back across the bridges. There were a lot of slumped shoulders and long faces. Yakimov gestured for his steward to get Adolin a cup of sparkling yellow wine. Adolin took it in his unarmored hand, though he didn't drink.
"That was quite nearly awesome," Yakimov said, staring out at the battle plateau.
From this lower vantage, it looked truly imposing with those three tiers.
"Almost looks man-made," Adolin thought idly, considering the shape.
"Nearly," Adolin agreed. "Can you imagine what an assault would look like if we had 20 or 30 shard-bearers on the battlefield at once? What chance would the Parshendi have?"
Yakimov grunted.
"Your father and the king are seriously committed to this course, aren't they?"
"As am I."
"I can see what you and your father are doing here, Adolin. But if you keep dueling, you're going to lose your shards. Even you can't always win. Eventually, you'll hit an off day. Then it will all be gone."
"I might lose at some point," Adolin agreed. "Of course, by then I'll have won half the shards in the kingdom, so I should be able to arrange a replacement."
Yakimov sipped his wine, smiling.
"You are a cocky bastard, I'll give you that."
Adolin smiled, then settled down in a squat beside Yakimov's chair. He couldn't sit in one himself, not in shard plate, so he could meet his friend's eyes.
"The truth is, Yakimov, I'm not really worried about losing my shards. I'm more worried about finding duels in the first place. I can't seem to get any shard-bearers to agree to a bout, at least not for shards."
"There have been certain inducements going around," Yakimov admitted. "Promises made to shard-bearers if they refused you."
"Sadius."
Yakimov inspected his wine.
"Try Aranev. He's been boasting that he's better than the standings give him credit for.
Knowing him, he'll see everyone else refusing and see it as an opportunity for him to do something spectacular. He's pretty good, though.
So am I, Adolin said.
Thanks, Yak. I owe you.
What's this I hear about you being betrothed?
Storms. How had that gotten out?
It's just a causal, Adolin said, and it might not even get that far. The woman's ship seems to have been severely delayed.
2 weeks now, with no word. Even Aunt Navani was getting worried. Yasna should have sent word.
I never thought you were the type to let yourself be nailed into an arranged marriage, Adolin, Yakimov said. There are lots of winds to ride out there, you know.
Like I said, Adolin replied, it's far from official. He still didn't know how he felt about all this. Part of him had wanted to push back simply because he resisted being subject to Yasna's manipulation. But then, his recent track record wasn't anything to boast of. After what had happened with Danlin, it wasn't his fault, was it, that he was a friendly man? Why did every woman have to be so jealous? The idea of letting someone else just take care of it all for him was more tempting than he'd ever publicly admit.
I can tell you the details, Adolin said. Maybe at the wine house later tonight?
Bring in Kima. You can tell me how stupid I'm being. Give me some perspective.
Yakimov stared at his wine.
What? Adolin asked.
Being seen with you isn't good for one's reputation these days, Adolin, Yakimov said. Your father and the king aren't particularly popular.
It will all blow over.
I'm sure it will, Yakimov said.
So let's wait until then, shall we?
Adolin blinked, the words hitting him harder than any blow on the battlefield.
Sure, Adolin forced himself to say.
Good man. Yakimov actually had the audacity to smile at him and lift his cup of wine. Adolin set aside his own cup untouched and stalked off. Sureblood was ready and waiting for him when he reached his men. Adolin moved to swing into the saddle, stewing, but the white Rashadium nudged him with the butt of the head. Adolin sighed, scratching at the horse's ears.
Sorry, he said. Haven't been paying much attention to you lately, have I?
He gave the horse a good scratch and felt somewhat better after climbing into the saddle. Adolin patted Sureblood's neck, and the horse pranced a bit as they started moving. He often did that when Adolin was feeling annoyed, as if trying to improve his master's mood. His four guards for the day followed behind him. They'd obligingly brought their old bridge from Sadius's army to get Adolin's team where they needed to go. They seemed to find it very amusing that Adolin had his soldiers take shifts carrying the thing.
Storming, Yakimov. This has been coming, Adolin admitted to himself. The more you defend, Father, the more they'll pull away.
They were like children. Father really was right. Did Adolin have any true friends? Anyone who would actually stand by him when things were difficult? He knew practically everyone of note in the war camps. Everyone knew him. How many of them actually cared?
I didn't have a fit, Renarin said softly.
Adolin shook out of his brooding. They rode side by side, though Adolin's mount was several hands taller. With Adolin astride a Rashadium, Renarin looked like a child on a pony by comparison, even in his plate. Clouds had rolled across the sun, giving some relief from the glare, though the air had turned cold lately, and it looked like winter was here for a season. The empty plateaus stretched ahead, barren and broken.
I just stood there, Renarin said. I wasn't frozen because of my ailment. I'm just a coward.
You're no coward, Adolin said. I've seen you act as brave as any man. Remember the Chasm Fiend hunt? Renarin shrugged.
You don't know how to fight, Renarin, Adolin said. It's a good thing you froze. You're too new at this to go into battle right now.
I shouldn't be. You started training when you were six.
That's different.
You're different, you mean?
Renarin said, eyes forward. He wasn't wearing his spectacles. Why was that? Didn't he need them? Trying to act like he doesn't, Adolin thought. Renarin so desperately wanted to be useful on a battlefield. He'd resisted all suggestions that he should become an ardent and pursue scholarship, as might have better suited him.
You just need more training, Adolin said. Zael will whip you into shape. Just give it time. You'll see.
I need to be ready, Renarin said. Something is coming.
The way he said it gave Adolin a shiver. You're talking about the numbers on the walls. Renarin nodded. They'd found another scratched set of them after the recent high storm outside Father's room. 49 days. A new storm comes. According to the guards, nobody had gone in or out. Different men from last time, which made it unlikely it had been one of them. Storms. That had been scratched on the wall while Adolin had been sleeping just one room away. Who or what had done it?
Need to be ready, Renarin said, for the coming storm. So little time.